Hello and welcome to FPL Happy Hour, episode 4 of season 4. And we're live with myself, Sham, otherwise known as FPL Two Guys One Cup on Twitter.
And myself, Rob, otherwise known as FPL Panda.
Rob, how you doing? I imagine a bit happier.
Yeah.
Last night's result.
It's been a good weekend. better than yours, anyway.
No goals scored. The only team in the league not to score a goal yet.
I think I read a stat earlier that you're the only team in the league that has not created a big chance.
Really? No, we must have, surely.
No, you have not created a big chance.
Wow. Doesn't surprise me. It's just, I don't know what's going on. We had two good saves yesterday. Sanchez made two good, Sunday, two good saves. I don't know. We'll talk about more about that a bit later. Let's go through what we're going to talk tonight. So first of all, we are going to be going through our teams from last week. Rob, you still there?
Yep, I'm still here. YouTube might not be, but yeah, we're still recording and going, so we'll keep it with that.
Okay, fine. So we're going to go through our teams, how we've done so far. For game week 3 and the season so far. We'll then go for our ones to watch. And just a heads up, last week we chose Gundogan, Rodri, Gross and Harrison, who all returned. Looks like we have some keen eyes. However, I don't believe either of us brought any of those players in. Great.
They're ones to watch, aren't they? We're saying we want to watch them, not buy them. And then, we'll have to go back and count. But I think we've been telling people to watch people and then they've been returning. And there's not many players that we've said to watch that we've actually ended up getting yet.
Yeah. Just because scenarios around it. Which we will talk about in our hot topic. But yeah, that leads me on to our hot topic, which is Liverpool. Should we start getting rid of the defenders? Should we start getting rid of any of the Liverpool players? We'll then talk about our own teams, West Ham and Man United, just a little bit away from FPL, then go through our teams for next week. And if there's anyone in the chat that wants to ask any questions, we'll finish off with a Q&A. So let's start off with our teams, Rob. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. Shocking week. Really bad week, really. Benching Sanchez over Raya. In hindsight, bad decision. TAA and Robertson. I don't even care though. blanks from them. Cancelo. I mean, where did that game come from on Sunday afternoon? That was absolutely brilliant, that City v Newcastle game. Cancelo, I mean, City scoring 3 times and Cancelo not really being involved in any of the goals is, I mean, you'd normally expect something from him if they're scoring like 3 or 4 goals, but that didn't happen. My saving grace was probably Andreas Pereira with his 8 points. Jesus, I think it's very much like last week with Haaland against Bournemouth. Jesus coming away with just an assist is disappointing, especially when Salah in the end got a goal and was like more captain by a long way. I thought it would have been a lot tighter. It was a bit gutting that Salah scored near the end of the game last night. Haaland obviously getting a return. It's made me second guess what I was planning to do this week. I think the goal he scored, it's just like, how can I get rid of this player that it's just going to always be in and around the box, and any like it was just a rebound, wasn't it? And he was just there, and that's what he's all about. Yeah, how can you? I mean, it's like back in the day, if you're playing FPL and like Ruud van Nistelrooy, like was around, and he didn't score like worldies or anything like that. Like there was a couple of times he took a lot of players on. I remember a game. What was it at Fulham? I think it was at Fulham, where he just scored an amazing solo goal. But those rebounds in and around the 6 yard box, he was just always there. And you're going to get that from Haaland. So I'm not sure I can drop him for this week against Palace. And Mbeumo, yeah, maybe I should have invested a little more in Tony. Again, in hindsight, but. And Rodrigo, like not going and gambling on Rodrigo a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, maybe a little disappointing as well. I mean, last week I sat here and said, oh, is he the man for Leeds really? And then he goes and scores again, doesn't he? I was trying to play devil's advocate with your one to watch, and yeah, he goes and returns again. But yeah, in the end, what was it, 47 points? It's a small red arrow. Yeah, it's still early in the season. It can easily turn around. I can see a lot of people hitting the wild card button. So yeah, just take it on the chin, go again next week, and yeah, hopefully can turn it around. Yeah, down to 5 million now. So only a drop of 400K.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, especially for me, I'm used to normally a quite a good start, and seeing these game week ranks of over, 2 million, 3 million, I think last week was 5 million, is quite disheartening when kind of that's not what I'm normally used to. First week was 3 million game week rank, last week 2.8. Sorry, week before last 2.8, last week was 5.8. So I'm sitting with an overall rank of 2.8. And it's kind of like, I know it's early in the season, but it's not something that I'm used to in terms of having this sort of start. And it's difficult to, I guess, think, be optimistic about it, even though you kind of know there's not much between 2.8 million and 100K. It's probably only about 30, 40 points, I'm guessing. Which isn't massive, but yeah, those popular picks with the high percentage owners don't seem to really be, hitting off that well at the moment.
Yeah,
It's only really kind of, I think the, going with Trent and Robbo has really been a problem to me. I mean, I might as well talk about my team now. My game week was I did Trippier to James, which was disappointing. And I had a back four, a back, sorry, I had a back five, but that back five included TA, Robertson, James, and Cancelo, which got me 2 points combined between those four players. Also had Nico Williams, and then Salah, Andreas, Pereira, and Martinelli. So that midfield did me well. Salah with 8 points, Andreas with 8 points, and Martinelli with six, and then Haaland and Jesus up front. Captain Jesus. So I benched Rashford for 10 points and Bailey. So Rashford first sub and Bailey second sub. And then when you're sitting with a defence of 2 points, well, 2 points between the four of them plus Nico Williams three. So 3 points between my back five, and then you've got 15 points when you bench one and two. It's quite tough, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, I finished on 45 points in total, currently rank 2.8 million. I'm not going to be pressing the wild card just yet. I think had last night, if right, it's really weird. So my kind of wild card was based on Rashford and Bailey, which seems like really weird based on like when you say that, because I think if Man United played shit again last night and Bailey didn't start, I would probably be looking at wildcarding. However, I can't see how I can wildcard when Rashford has got Southampton and Leicester in the next two, and they're both conceding for fun, and Aston Villa have got West Ham this game week, who we're conceding for fun, and then Liverpool have got Bournemouth at home. I don't see how I can wildcard when I've got that team. So that's kind of, I almost feel like if I wildcard, it's a waste because actually I think Rashford would do really well against Southampton. So what's the point of me taking him out?
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's one thing I'm not sure regretting is the word. But yeah, that Martinelli to Rashford move, I think it, I mean, it was something that I'd looked to do from early on in the season. Like always looked at game week three as an opportunity to bring Martinelli in for that Bournemouth fixture. But yeah, seeing the, I mean, nothing from the first two game weeks told us that what was going to happen last night was going to happen, and we just saw peak Marcus Rashford last night. And I forgot how scary he is when he's confident and running at people with the ball. There was one stage last night, he like, I swear he nutmegged TAA, Milner, then Gomez, and then put the ball like shot just over. I was like, if that went in, it's like a goal of the season contender. And we haven't seen that from Marcus Rashford for about 4 years. Like, not even under Solskjaer, I don't think we saw that kind of just directness from Marcus Rashford. And if he could, if he can be confident again, like there's every chance he could come away with a haul against Southampton. There's every chance he can come away with a haul against Leicester in the next two. So yeah, I think I'm slightly jealous that you've still got him sitting there because he's a bargain and loads of people are going to jump on him. Because what is he, 6 mil? Did he drop?
He's gone down to 6 point. What is he now? Six. Yeah, he
Six.
did. He's dropped a lot. He's
6.3.
now 6.3. Yeah.
And you bought
Yeah,
him at
six
six
point
point
three.
five. I
Yeah.
like he could potentially by the
Go
end of
back
next
up.
week because you've got midweek fixtures next week. So by next Friday, he could be back to 6.5 or more
Yeah.
because he's going to go up again this week with people on wild cards and stuff. People are going to take that gamble to bring him in. Plus, there's all the casuals that will bring him in. And yeah, that's just gonna that'll bring him up to 6.5. He goes and returns against Southampton and against Leicester, then you've yeah, you've probably got him up to 6.6 by the end of next week, or at least during the next game during what game week six.
Right, let's look at our ones to watch now. as I said, over the last couple of weeks, our ones to watch have been performing quite well. We've gone for four tonight. Rob, our internet seems to be a bit shady and I can't see the screen of the players. So I'm just going to wing, you'll have to kind of go through the stats. Oh, there we go. I've got it now. I can see it now. I can see it. So I've gone for Maddison and Zaha. I originally did choose Zaha and Perisic, but Rob got there first.
I mean, it's only fair. I was at Spurs on Saturday, so I had a better view.
Yeah, you'll be able to kind of talk about it more. So I've gone for Maddison and Zaha. At the moment, Palace, their run of fixtures aren't looking great. However, Zaha has still managed to kind of perform and do quite well from I guess what we weren't expecting him to do at the moment. Again, with these kind of, I would say, not necessarily tough fixtures, but harder fixtures. You know, they've had Arsenal, Liverpool, and Villa, and he's racked up three goals in those games. Coming up, they've got City, and then Brentford, Newcastle, United, Brighton after that. So again, these ones to watch players aren't necessarily players that we would buy this week, but coming up to wildcard in the next few weeks, I would be thinking potentially about moving towards him, maybe from game week 5 against Brentford, and they got a decent run, Brentford, Newcastle, United, Brighton. That's not a bad run for Zaha. And he's already scored 3 goals, getting 21 points, so 2, 7 and 12. So I think he's definitely one to look out for. The second player is Maddison, who can't seem to stop returning at the moment. Scored again on the weekend. I didn't watch the game, but I don't... Did Southampton deserve to win that game?
I didn't see it personally, but from what I've seen in highlights, yeah, I'm not sure.
He's, you know, Maddison scored 2 goals, so 7 points in each of them. The only concern with him is I don't think he's only got 1 bonus point from those fixtures. So that's the kind of only concern with him, whereas you've got others... like Zaha, like Pereira, all these players that seem to be getting bonuses with with a goal or an assist, Maddison isn't, which is strange because I know last season he was a kind of a bonus magnet. So yeah, those are the two that I've gone for. And obviously Madison's fixtures, again, I wouldn't buy for this week with Chelsea, although obviously they can see the 3 against Leeds, but Leicester have then got a great run of fixtures from game week 6. So Brighton, Villa, Tottenham, Forest, Bournemouth, Palace, Leeds, Wolves.
I mean, there's always still the chance that Maddison is by, 8 days' time, that he's no longer a Leicester player. And I think if you put him in, say, the Newcastle midfield, I think I'd buy him straight away.
Yeah.
I think with Leicester at the moment, I think there's just a lot of uncertainty there. Like, will Brendan Rodgers even be the manager still in 8 days' time?
Yeah.
You'd think a heavy loss against Chelsea, I think that puts him under a lot of pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it doesn't look like it's very much his fault. I think it looks like he's been let down by recruitment and the people in charge of that, because I was listening to something last week, and how sort of at the end of the season he said, we know who we want, we know where we need to strengthen, etc., etc. He went on holiday, and it's like he went on holiday expecting the recruitment team to do their job and start bringing these players in, and then comes back, pre-season starts, and he hasn't signed anyone. I mean, they've signed a keeper, haven't they? And that's it. They've signed a third choice keeper.
I don't know where their money's gone there.
Neither do I.
Leicester seem to always be buying players.
They've just given Jamie Vardy sort of an end of career kind of contract for another couple of years, I believe. It looks like Fofana most likely at some point next week become a Chelsea player. I can't see, like, Chelsea are throwing 70 million now at them, 75 mil. Can Leicester afford to, like, if they went 80, can Leicester turn that down for Fofana?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they'll be able to.
That's the concern, I think, with Maddison. But they haven't played well this season so far, and he's picked up 2 goals and an assist, hasn't he? So he's like, He's still returning. We know that he's on set pieces, a brilliant delivery of a set piece. Brilliant, yeah, in dead ball situations. So there's always going to be the chance of him returning, especially when he has got, if he's not going to be scoring, he's got an elite striker in Jamie Vardy in front of him, who, like, if Maddison can put through a pinpoint cross or whatever to him, then, you'd back Jamie Vardy to finish it. So that the returns will continue to come in a Leicester shirt. But, yeah, I think it's going to ask a lot of him, especially when over the last sort of 2 or 3 years, he's been one of these players that has like a run of sort of 10, 15 really good games, gets injured, and then struggles for the rest of the season. Like we saw last season, we saw that, but then towards the end of the season, he hit a bit of form again. But yeah, it'll be interesting with him.
Right, do you want to go through your two players? And I'm guessing both of these are based on eye tests rather than stats, based on you being at the game and the Spurs game and watching the United game last night.
Yeah, so Ivan Perisic was brilliant on Saturday lunchtime. Defensively, just like I've always remembered him playing for Inter, for Croatia, for his attacking play, but defensively he was very very sound. But obviously we don't really care about what he does defensively because that doesn't win you points in FPL. Win you points in Sky and Telegraph, which is why I'm currently looking at him for those games. But when Spurs have the ball, he 9 times out of 10 is pushing past Heung-min Son, and Son comes in inside a little bit deeper, and Perisic is hugging the byline, right on the last man. Like when Spurs have the ball, they are effectively they move Ben Davies out left, and they play with a fullback. Perisic becomes a, would you say, fifth midfielder or a fourth attacker? I'd probably say more of a fourth attacker than a fifth midfielder, or yeah, fourth midfielder, because he's it almost becomes yeah front four with him on the left, Kulusevski on the right, and Son and Kane in the middle. So that's why it really interests me. Very clever header for the goal, sort of just nodding it back from the near post. Knows that yeah, if he can get it over the sort of group of people in the middle of the goal, he knows who's at the back post instantly. Kane's not going to have an easier header this season, I imagine. Yeah, solid performance. My only worry with him is Ryan Sessegnon ain't going away. But he's had a very solid start to the season. Like, I can see those two, especially if Sessegnon continues to perform, they're very much going to be a lot of rotation between the two of them. You can see that once the Champions League starts up, depending on who they get in their group, we might not see much of Perisic in the league, or like if there is a comfortable looking group for Spurs, Conte might go, right, I'll play Sessegnon in Europe and I'll play Perisic domestically. So I think that's the risk there. But even then, he can come on and do something, although he hasn't got that what's the word? That sort of thing. Like he won't ever come on and make something happen to change a game, I don't think. It'd more come on to just bring some sort of leadership and yeah, that sort of side of things into games. That's why, yeah. Will he return when he does come on? But yeah, we've yet to see really. But yeah, impressive first start for him on Saturday. I mean, his ownership up to 21.6. A lot of people gambled on him this week when it was. One that in the nose said he believes that Perisic will start a lot of people on Saturday morning. Went and made that move. And because I was travelling across London and wasn't sure what was going on with the travel, I made my moves the night before. And I might have done Robbo to Perisic on Saturday morning if I wasn't travelling. Like if I was lying in bed watching Soccer AM. Still umming and ahhing about a move, then I might have done that move that a lot of people did. But I did the Martinelli to Rashford move, which I felt Rashford to Martinelli move, which I felt was right. The other player who took his goal absolutely brilliantly last night was is Jadon Sancho. He's still only 4.8% owned, 7.3 like Rashford. He's dropped 0.2 in the first 3 game weeks. I imagine he will go up 0.1 by the game week 4 deadline. His stats don't read very well. One shot, one on target, which was obviously the one that he had 6 feet of space created for himself by a very, very clever turn. But like we said about Rashford earlier, Sancho last night just looked on it. And the way that this United team are set up, I think if they continue with a quick front three, I think the returns are going to come for him. We know he's a good player. Like he was doing it in the Bundesliga. Like people say, oh, yeah, like he's a City reject. They were happy to sell him on the cheap to Dortmund a few years ago. He did it in Germany. There's a lot of players around that do well over there and come here and they don't do so well. But I think he's got the ability there to do it. There's obviously going to be other signings made at United, but he seems like in the front three, the most nailed. Although I think Rashford now, as long as he stays fit, is probably also there. There's another player in that front three. We'll talk about in a bit. Well, from the front three in the second half, we'll talk about in a bit that also is someone that I want to keep an eye on. But yeah, I was very pleased with him. And despite how poor they've been, he's eighth in the league for shot creating actions. I think it's eighth still, with 11 shot creating actions this season. So despite being so shocking. That United have been, he's actually been producing some good numbers. But yeah, United hadn't scored a goal until yesterday.
Liverpool came.
Yeah, they're making jokes about United's goal of the month competition. But then today I saw another United have a joke about their goal of the month competition. This month, so but I'm sure we'll get to that shortly. Yeah, so Jadon Sancho is my other one. Another player, I forget who I said. There was another one that I just had a brief look at. I wasn't sure, and that was Andreas Pereira. But even though, I mean, he's already in my team, but I think a lot of people brought him in, maybe not to start him. But just as bench fodder, I took the gamble this week of starting him. It's paid off, and I think that when Fulham play teams where they can go toe to toe with the other team, so like Brentford, most of the, sort of the bottom half, I think they could go toe to toe with. I think he's a consideration to come to the team. Like from his time at United. He was a good player. You could see there was a good player in there, but he wasn't a Man United top six, player. He was a very good mid-table player that will score goals, will create chances. He can hit a free kick. Seen a couple of decent free kicks from him. In his time at United. And yeah, so someone else just to bear in mind, don't write him off and go like just automatically he's always second or third bench. Because I think in the past, when you've seen a 4.5 million mid, you've automatically just done that. And I think, yeah, you're going to see returns from him over the course of the season. Just with the way that Fulham set up, they look like they've found this system that complements Mitrovic perfectly. And if Mitrovic is playing well, there's going to be a good chance that Pereira's going to be involved in some of his goals.
Okay, let's move on then to our hot topic. We briefly discussed it when we were talking about I wanted to watch last night, Sancho against Liverpool, and that is Liverpool, our hot topic is all about. And should we be getting rid of their players, or specifically their defenders? Three games, no clean sheets, I believe. And TA and Robertson both quite expensive. I went with TA, Robertson, and Salah. Some others went with TA, Salah, and Diaz. So what do you think, Rob? Should we be getting rid of Liverpool defenders?
There's
And if so, when?
an interesting stat that just rolled. Well, it's still on the screen with the XG league table. The team with the lowest expected goals this season so far is Bournemouth, with 0.9 from the first three games. Am I backing Bournemouth now to go to Anfield and score? No.
They're gonna score now.
They may score, but I'm not going to back them to score. TAM Robertson, it's not. Oh, I would have loved to have, rage transferred one of them out after the performance last night. But Bournemouth at home, Newcastle at home, Everton away, Wolves at home. I think there's still a couple of clean sheets in there for them, despite how bad they've been. Everton still haven't got a striker. Bournemouth and Everton, I don't think I can see them scoring. Newcastle maybe, but then Callum Wilson, there's suspected hamstring injury. How does that affect Newcastle moving forward? Because he started off the season brilliantly, which is a shame for him. I think, yeah, there's a couple of clean sheets there. I think at the moment it's Mo Salah that I'm concerned about.
But
Have
he
I?
seems to be still ticking
He,
over, though.
but that's
That's the
the thing.
thing.
Even last night, they play awful. He pops in, scores a goal.
Yeah.
But if there was that opportunity to switch him to Diaz to free up some money, then I may do it. Or I said that in game week 6 or 7, I had trying to work in an opportunity to bring in
So
Nunez.
I think the opportunity, so game week 8, Liverpool's fixtures, next four fixtures after game week 8 are Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal, City. That's their four fixtures between 8 and 11. If you're looking for an opportunity to get rid of Salah, that's your probably your chance.
And I mean, you could do an easy switch there, from Salah to KDB, because City have Wolves, Man United, Southampton, in their next three, and then they obviously go and play Liverpool. And well, KDB hasn't been shy to return against Liverpool in the last couple of seasons.
Then leave a salad, right?
I think KDB probably leads Salah slightly. Didn't KDB score like a screamer from like 30 yards last year against Liverpool? I
Can't
remember him
remember, but I
having
know
just
Salah.
an unbelievable game against Liverpool. I think it was last season. I mean, all of the games that they've played against each other in the last couple of years have just been brilliant football matches. But I
Yeah.
remember KDB just going crazy at one match, and just taking the ball by the teeth, as it were. Or was it ball by the horns, not ball by
Ball by the
the
horn.
teeth?
So I tell you my thoughts on it is I don't think I do agree with you. I don't think it's worth bringing them out now, especially not with Bournemouth coming up at home. However, I think the opportunity whenever you wild card is probably the best time to do it. I don't think it's worth using one or two transfers to get rid of Roberts and bring someone else in and then bring Diaz in as well. So because it's going to use two transfers if you still want three Liverpool players, right? So I personally think wild card is a good opportunity, and it, you know, as it stands right now, I'm still looking to wild card in game week eight. And from game week eight, like I just said, Liverpool's four fixtures after that are Chelsea, Brighton, Arsenal, and City. I think Percy, that's a good chance to hop off Robertson, probably still keep TAA. With Brighton, Newcastle, Everton, and Wolves coming up, Wolves can't score. Everton haven't got a striker. Newcastle without Wilson, Bournemouth's XG is 0.99 in three games. I think you could get three clean sheets out of those four. But then Liverpool have been playing shit at the moment. So this it's a difficult one. Like personally, I'll be keeping until at least game week eight. And I don't think it's worth moving
I
off.
mean, yeah, when I mean, everyone's been, well, up until last night talking about sort of 7, 8, 9. That's the sort of the wild card time. And that probably works out quite nicely then, doesn't it? To come off Salah, like you might even just you'd go on to Nunez, so you've still got that
Some coverage, yeah.
attacking coverage from them. Like, but Nunez against the Chelsea defence, Nunez against the Brighton defence. Would we see him get anything against either of them? Arsenal defence, I think he could probably get something against. But then, yeah, the City defence, which, well, we don't know what the City defence will look like by game week 11. It could have Emerick Laporte and Diaz as a back two. It could be Laporte and Stones as a back two. It could be Laporte and Ake. It could be Ake and Stones. Yeah, we like that City defence. I think it's only the fullbacks that we know week in, week out now, which before I think it used to be the. It was the centre halves that we knew at week in, week out. So yeah, it's I think it'll be tricky to jump on Nunes, but it'd be not sure it would be sensible to completely ditch Liverpool. And by then we might see a very different side. If depend I think we'll probably see them. Even though Klopp said, yeah, they're not looking to sign anyone. I think they have to sign a centre mid, because I don't think like last night, Milner and Henderson. I think that was it was the worst game I've seen James Milner play in his whole career. I thought he was absolutely horrendous. Lost the ball a lot. He just looked leggy. I mean, he's old now. He's like 38.
Is he that old?
Yeah.
Can't be.
I thought he was going to retire at the end of last season.
I'm gonna check his age. He can't be 38, surely. Can't be.
I thought he was going to retire.
1986, no, 36 he is.
36. So he's.
Same as
He could be. When's his birthday? He could be 38 next year.
Four, 4th of January. He's just
Oh, so
turned.
he's coming 37.
Yeah. Still old for a Premier League midfielder playing for Liverpool.
And Jordan Henderson last night, and now he was awful, pretty awful as well. And that combination of them two being awful, of like when you look at those two and Harvey Elliott as their three in midfield, you've got
Yeah.
the, yeah, and then yeah, you look at United had Eriksen, Bruno. And McTominay, I think it was all relying on how well McTominay played. And he had a brilliant game, and it meant United just won that midfield battle constantly when they needed to. But yeah, Liverpool, they're just built to have, now they're built to have Thiago in the team.
Yeah.
So I don't even think Keita could come in and do the sort of job that he's doing in there to make them tick. So wouldn't be surprised if they dived into the transfer market and brought in another centre mid because they just haven't got the right players in there. You wouldn't stick on, say, Chamberlain in there. Klopp obviously does not trust Carvalho yet to come in because because he could have easily started Carvalho last night, and he brought him on quite late in the game, and he played quite well when he came on, like trying to get the ball moving, move it forward and everything. And then Fabinho is obviously carrying an injury as well, because that was a like, yeah, if someone's fit enough to be on the bench, why don't you fucking start him? Because yeah, Fabinho comes on, what, just after the second goal, so about half hour to go. And that's not a oh, I'm gonna like I'm trying to get back into the game, is it? It's I'm worried about this midfield battle that I keep losing. So I think it all relies on Thiago. But I worry for them if he doesn't come back soon and they don't sign anyone, because Chelsea will make it hard for him in the middle of the park. Arsenal, Brighton will. Arsenal will. City will. That could be a horrible 4 games for them. And they've just come. Well, for them, it'll feel a lot worse than these first three, because they could come away getting beat in at least three of those four. Yeah, with the way that they've been playing.
Okay, well, let's move away from FPL and move slightly on to I guess West Ham and United. And for me, it's a similar tale, copy and paste from last week. I said, put your money on Brighton to beat us, and another game's gone by, and we still haven't beaten Brighton in the Premier League. Is the audio okay, Rob? Can you hear me okay? And I was away this weekend, so I didn't get to see the game. I wasn't at the game. Thank God I wasn't at the game, to be honest with you. A good time to not be around. But I did watch the highlights. That first, did you see the highlights of the game?
Seem very brief highlights, like nothing.
It was such a blatant penalty. I don't understand what he's doing, Correa, the new signing, who looks decent. I think we've got him for about 15 million. But that challenge was just outside the box, and I think if a free kick was given for that, he probably would have been given a red, such a as being last man so blatant. And then obviously the second challenge was inside the box, which gave away that pen. We had a good couple of headers that I watched. Suchek had a shot on target. Sanchez made a good save, and then I think it was Scamacca with the second one. Or it could have been Suchet again, but I think that's Scamacca. But it doesn't feel like we've got much creativity at the moment. Suj, who I watched the games with, I listened to Planet FPL, and he said in the podcast that he's kind of optimistic about how the way that we're playing and thinks that we will perform and kind of get there. And he doesn't see the team playing too badly, just needs a bit more cohesion. I'm a little bit more pessimistic about it. I don't think it's time for Moyes to be sacked or anything, but I'm just really not happy with the way that we're playing at the moment. Do you have any thoughts on that, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously concerns, isn't there, with the start of the season that you've had. But I mean, we spoke about how fragile you look defensively at the moment, and maybe that's carrying through the rest of the squad. I think we said that last week or a couple of weeks ago. And it's not, I think they're just bereft of confidence. Like just no confidence in themselves to be able to perform, whereas in the last 2 seasons we've seen a team that's just flying with confidence, haven't we? I mean, yeah, you've sat here week after week just loving life, and going into games confident that, like against lesser teams, that you'll win, and against big teams that you can go and get a result. And yeah, it's just, I don't think there's anything about the West Ham side that's scary at the moment.
No, not at all.
And I think that's the worrying thing. They've made, yeah, signings, but the signings don't seem to have really improved the side, like the starting 11. They've improved the squad, and not really being a signing that goes, right, you're going to be like playing here and you're going to scare the life out of other defenders in the league
Well,
for us.
we played on Thursday against Viborg and we won 3-1. Scamacca scored, and I think personally, I think this is probably anti. I mean, Moyes is quite stubborn, and so he hasn't been starting Scamacca. He's been coming on kind of around the 60th minute. But I think next game he probably will start him. It's been 3 games gone, and Antonio hasn't really done much, to be honest with you. I'd be surprised if Scamacca didn't start the next game. We're also just, and this is an FPL point of view as well, we're on the verge of signing Emerson, who's 4.4, well, 4 million in the game. So another defender likely to start. We've signed him for 15 million from Chelsea. So that will kind of go alongside your Nico Williams and your Patsons as starters. I think he probably will start. I'd be surprised if he didn't. Kind of trying to improve the side defensively. So let's see how it goes. Next couple of games, you know, I think we've got next Villa on the weekend, followed by Spurs next week. So I'll be at the Spurs game next Wednesday. Tough game, couple of games, but we'll see what happens after that. But yeah, disappointing at the moment as a West Ham fan.
Yeah, I
Uh,
mean,
but
at the
all teams.
moment, that Villa game, like considering, yeah, after that you got Spurs at home, Chelsea away, Newcastle at home.
It's important.
Yeah,
Because we
you
could
need to
easily
get.
be sitting here with 6 games gone and no points.
With the way things gone, so that Villa game's a big game, I think. Go to Villa Park, get 3 points. Just get off the mark, and that just gives a bit of confidence to the players, to the fans, because when you got Spurs coming next, I think it's next Wednesday night. You're gonna need the fans to be
And then
making a
Chelsea
noise.
after that.
Yeah, fingers crossed they can turn it round, because the last couple of seasons they've been a likable side. Maybe they should have. Do you think they should have taken the money for Rice and then just
No, we've
distributed it into the team elsewhere?
we've we've spent over 100 million this year. We've spent 120 million. So it's not like we haven't spent the money. We've made big signings. You know, we signed Agüero, we signed Scamacca. These players are 25, 30 million each, just them two. So it's not like we haven't spent the money. So yeah. Anyway, fortunes have changed for you after last night. I know you spoke about it a little bit. Do you want to discuss it a little bit more?
Wow.
Anything, any points that you want to kind of discuss?
It was just, I felt a very emotional at the end of the game last night, because it felt like there was the game against, I think it was Cardiff, when Solskjaer took over and we won 5-0, and that was just a very, it was a good performance, but it was a very hectic attacking performance. Last night, it wasn't a hectic attacking performance. It was an organised decimation of a very good side. Liverpool did not play well, but United were just brilliant. I felt it was the best I'd seen them play for maybe 4 or 5 years. Since the Mourinho days, maybe even before that. Just very organized at the back. Ten Hag did a he did a very big thing with dropping not only Maguire but Ronaldo. Dropping Maguire when you've got Varane and Martinez there. I don't think Martinez, if Nunez wasn't suspended, I don't think Martinez would have started. I think he would have started Maguire and Varane. But because there wasn't that aerial presence of Nunez, I think it allowed him to be able to start Martinez, although I'm not entirely convinced about this whole Martinez like an aerial battles thing. Yeah, it's I don't think it, I think it's very unfair to judge him on that performance at Brentford when he was targeted and he still won a few of his aerial battles. It's just the ones that he lost were big ones. So yeah, it was unfair maybe on him. But I mean, he was brilliant. In the first like 30 seconds, he puts in a like tackle on Mo Salah to say like we're in this game. You're gonna have to fight for a result here. And from that moment, I thought to myself, messaged one of my mates. I was just like, this looks different. This team looks like it's ready to fight. The atmosphere was brilliant as well, which obviously helped. But yeah, they just set up very organised. As I said earlier, McTominay was brilliant in the midfield, and that allowed Eriksen to do what he does best, moving the ball forwards through that phase of play. It allowed Bruno to probably have his best game for probably 18 months. He was brilliant. Maybe the captain's armband helped him as well, giving him that leadership. It kind of just he became very focused and just seemed to be absolutely everywhere. All over, because he was almost playing on as the six and Eriksen playing as the 10 at times. Yeah, Bruno was just everywhere. And then, yeah, the front three, the pressing was very good up the pitch. One thing I did notice, and actually, James mentioned it on Planet FPL earlier, so through the whole game, I didn't realise it was this little amount. I think De Gea made four short passes. So everything was essentially the game plan was play it long, win the ball back on the counter press. So get the ball up to the Liverpool defenders, just give it back to them essentially, but we're confident we can win the ball back off you up there. And that's what they went and did. The amount of times Liverpool got to the midfield, and because they're having to play the ball so quickly, they're making mistakes because they haven't got the players in that midfield to do that. And United won the ball, and then they could have had three in the sort of first 20 minutes. United could have. Alanga hit the post. Rashford had a half chance blocked, and then the goal was just—it was brilliant. Just neat one touch play.
Both goals were great.
Sancho sent Milner into retirement. Alisson to the donut shop, and I don't know what Van Dijk was doing. The memes have been brilliant today around Twitter on Virgil van Dijk and his standing there with his hands behind his back. I was thinking though, like one of my mates, Chelsea fan, just went, if that was John Terry, he's like flying towards the ball. Van Dijk just stood there, like, what are you doing, mate? Just do something to make it look like you're closing it down. And Sancho just has so much time. And Bruno, if you pause it as like Sancho's about to shoot, Bruno's just pointing at the corner, just
At the
like,
go at the goal.
it's like, oh, just put the ball there, mate. And he's just got all that time to just do that. It's just brilliant. And then the second goal, Anthony Martial, he came on and he was awesome in the second half. Yeah, he's someone that looked like he was ready to fight for his spot in the side in the summer in pre-season. Got very unlucky to pick up a little hamstring injury just before the start of the season, but he looked like he's he's ready for this season. He wants to be in that side. He doesn't want to leave Man United. Like he wants to fight for his place. And actually saw him smile after the second goal. Rashford runs off to celebrate, and turns around. Martial standing there smiling. It's like never see this guy smile. He's yeah another one that I think if this United side. I mean, the big game now is Saturday. Like they have to come out and they have to play exactly the same way. If they do that, they could destroy Southampton. They do it again next midweek. They beat Leicester. Then they've got the tricky game against Arsenal. But I think the way that they do that is just continuing the same lineup. I'd argue that yeah, Maguire just keep him on the bench. I'd let Martinez and Varane build up some sort of partnership because last night the two of them were brilliant. I think McTominay will be a great squad player for us. I think this could be the last game he starts for a while. I think Casemiro could come in this weekend and just take that role for himself, because he's another class. So yeah, he'll come. I think he comes in, takes the role. McTominay then will be sort of a utility player that, like in the past, where we had players like Park Ji-sung, maybe even Darren Fletcher, players like that, and we said like they weren't ever good enough to start week in, week out, but they were good enough to say, right, I need you to do a job this week for me. I need you to sit on this player and do this. Like McTominay can do that. So yeah, I think that'll be what he does. And then I think Ronaldo now, I think they've either got to let him go on the cheap, but I don't think the club want to do that. Or I think he's going to end up
What
being
did you pay for him, though? You didn't pay much for him,
16
did you?
mil,
15.
15, 16 mil. I mean, he's on half a million a week, which is a lot of money to have someone sitting on the bench. But there'll be games that like he comes on and we'll need him to come on and do something. And even
Imagine
last
having
night,
Ronaldo as an impact sub.
yeah, I mean, even last night, we needed him to come on and just help keep the ball up the top of the pitch, like keep it away from our goal because we're getting put under a bit of pressure. And he kind of just did that for us. Didn't close down and press players. So like instantly the way we played changed. But when we managed to win the ball in the midfield and get it out to him, he was able to keep the ball and help just kill a bit of time. Yeah, so I'm not sure I'd be happy having him sitting there taking half a million a week, but and sitting on the bench. It would be a shame if that's how like if we finish it like he finishes his days as a United player, but like it could be the Europa League final that he comes on the 89th minute or something and then makes a difference and we win the Europa League or something like that towards the end of the season. That's a trophy he hasn't won.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, I'm very, very pleased. But all it takes is not playing like that again on Saturday and we'll lose again because Southampton are a decent side. They're an organised side. There'll be lots of set pieces. Like we know how good Ward-Prowse is from dead balls. Like probably the best, arguably the best in the league from a dead ball. Yeah, so they have to do that again. And I don't think Ten Hag would let them not do it again. I think it showed with dropping Maguire, dropping Ronaldo. Like, if you're not going to play how I want you to play, you don't play.
Yeah.
And I've the players that I saw on the pitch, he dropped Luke Shaw as well. Like, forgetting that, like, dropped Luke Shaw. I can't see Luke Shaw coming back into Tyrrell Malacia last night. It was brilliant. Up against Mo Salah. Like, how many chances did Mo Salah get in the game apart from the goal, which was a bit of a sort of a scramble rebound? Didn't really get many chances. Malacia won his battles that he needed to against Salah. So I can't see Luke Shaw coming back in. I think Luke Shaw's World Cup's over. I can't see him getting in the England squad now, because he's been off it for a while, and I can't see him starting a meaningful game. I think there'll be games he starts in the League Cup, in the Europa League maybe, but I can't see him starting any league games, because that's where Ten Hag, he just wants to get United as high up the league as quickly as possible. Because then if he can get them high, like into the higher European places, then it means that the attraction is still there to bring players in. I think I'm a long way off saying we're challenging, we're going to be in the fight for a top four. But if we play like we did last night, I think we're in that fight. But we've got to do it every week. If we don't do it every week, then we'll finish sixth and or worse. So yeah, it's exciting, exciting.
Nice.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant watch last night, and yeah, just hope it continues Saturday lunchtime.
Okay, well, let's move on then to just quickly going through our team set up for this week. So back to FPL, and then we'll end the pod. So I'll go through. So I'm not going to be making any changes this week. I'll be going with Ramsdale, TA, Robertson, Cancelo, and James, Rashford, Salah. The only kind of decisions I've got to make this week is, do I start Bailey or Pereira? And then I've got Martinelli, Haaland, Jesus, Salah captain. So as it stands, 10 players playing at home, with the only one being Rashford playing away. Yeah, that's me for this week. I'm starting Bailey instead of Pereira, just because I think Arsenal are looking much better. Although Fulham, I think, could score. But I think Villa have got more of a chance of scoring against West Ham the way that we're playing at the moment. So that hence I'm starting Bailey. How are you looking, Rob?
So my team for this week, I'm very likely to roll a transfer as well. I don't feel, looking at my squad, it needs a transfer made this week. I can roll a transfer and then maybe having a look at just distributing some of those Robertson or even Trent Alexander-Arnold funds elsewhere into the side and just get rid of one of them. But that's obviously going to take two transfers to move that money into the midfield or even into the forward. So I'm going to start with Raya in goal again. I fancy Leeds to score against Brighton. So yeah, go with Raya. TAA, Robertson, Cancelo, and I'm going to go with Dalot. I'm going to back United to not drop off and have the same performance again. So I'm going with Dalot in my lineup to start. Salah captain, Martinelli. I've gone Bailey in midfield at the moment. I think it's a flip between him and Neto, but I think Bailey will be my one in midfield that starts, and then Mbeumo, Haaland, Jesus as my three up top. Originally, my plan at the beginning of the season was to do Haaland to Kane this week, but I think I'd rather than Kane away to Forest, I think I'd rather have Haaland at home to Palace and the two free transfers next week. Like having that, being able to then move that money around, I think just weighs in favour of going with Kane over Haaland. So yeah, the bench of Sanchez, Andreas, Neto at the moment, and then Nico Williams as my third bench. Hopefully, it does something. it'll be very nice to have a like four clean sheets out of those five at the back. That would be nice. But yeah, we shall see. We don't know this season. City looked terrible defensively on Sunday, so yeah, Cancelo, he's another player. Like, he's probably more priority to think about moving on, maybe, if City continue to perform badly defensively than TAA. And use some of that money elsewhere, maybe into another City midfielder, because Foden, Gundogan, both look like they're pretty nailed in that midfield, so, and both playing very well. So, yeah, that's something else to think about maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Nice. Anything else to cover before we end?
Nope, don't think so. Yeah, just have a great weekend of football, wouldn't it? So, roll on and have a good weekend. The season is shaping up with the strength of the teams. Like, there just seems to be a little shift going on, where there's a lot of teams that I think could potentially go down. A lot of teams could potentially be in Europe at the end of the season, with the way that they've started. Like, you look at Leeds in these first 3 weeks, they were brilliant on Sunday. Yeah, could they have an outside shot of a Europa League spot towards the end of the season? If they play like that, then they do. And there's still teams that have got to start performing. Teams like Liverpool, like West Ham, they'll gradually at some point start moving up the table. Obviously, your worry is that might not be for a few weeks yet with the fixtures coming up. But you imagine they'll start moving up the table, and that's just going to compact everything even more. So, yeah, I wouldn't have put money on Arsenal to be the only team free from three going into game week four. Yeah, definitely wouldn't have expected that. And yeah, I think it's set up very nicely. I still see Arsenal capitulating at some point, just doing a complete Arsenal and ending up like in ninth and struggling their way to a Europa League place. But yeah, I mean, they look a lot better, a much better organised side, with the signings they've made. I mean, Saliba's, I think, a brilliant. Why did they send him on loan last season? He's brilliant. And yeah, Gabriel Jesus up front, I think it's probably at the moment it looks like the signing of the summer for any team. But yeah, Casemiro's still got to play, so we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Right. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter, FPL underscore happy hour. We're also on a number of podcasts, including Spotify and our YouTube channels, FPL happy hour. Please like, subscribe, and share, and all your retweets are appreciated. Until then, have a great game week.
Cheers, guys. Have a good week.